Hang on, I'm going to try another one.
Okay.
It's a bit like Elvis-y for me, this one. Oh.
That's a good one.
No, we need really? More clapper clapping than that. Hang on. Oh, that's better.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Let's and go with all the feels.
Finale. That's our fave. Hey, we're back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's December.
It's the vortex. We're really in the vortex now.
Oh, my God.
I reckon the vortex starts in October.
Yeah.
And we have a triple vortex at home because, like, there's the vortex of the race towards the end of the year. Why the hell have none of us ever learnt that stuff happens after Christmas?
I know. It's freaky, isn't it? Massive deadline that everyone gets hysterical
about.
Such
a false idol.
I know. It's an idol. Oh, well, yeah, there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do.
I mean, I think it ties in and, you know, in reality, that is the point of the year where most Australians have their longest holiday. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know, that's the thing about
it. So people go missing. I know, people are insane.
The energy's just full on.
Completely insane.
And then we have three birthdays, which are 9 days apart.
And yours was yesterday.
Mine was yesterday. Happy birthday to me.
Bum, bum. Let's do clap.
Oh, not my God, I've got lots of friends, haven't I?
That's an auditorium of clapping. Excellent work.
I mean, birthdays are the best day of the year.
Well, I hope you're having a Festivus. I always have a Festivus for my birthday.
Oh, this is fascinating. You just said that, right? Did I tell you about what Jay said?
Yeah.
Oh, Jay, because I always make a week out of my birthday by habit.
Quite right.
And so Jay said the other day about the Festivus of Michelle.
Yes. He's the only one I know who calls you Michelle. I love that.
True,
I love it.
True. However, that is from Seinfeld.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, okay, so exactly. So you go, yeah, I know, but I'm not a Seinfelder.
Oh, right.
No.
So, oh, it's George Costanza's dad, who was the crazy Jerry Stiller.
Okay, right. So any other Seinfelder who you say that to, they go, oh, yeah, of course, like you just did.
You've got to have a Festivus.
Oh, where is that?
You got to have a Festivus! Yes. That was him.
I thought that Jace had made up the words. I was like, oh, wow.
You're so impressive. Making up words.
Anyway, it's my Festivus currently.
Good.
So I generally get a week.
Good. Excellent work.
Which is good. Okay. Where, what a week, day
two?
Well, I reckon I start on Sunday, Arvo. So I'm going Sunday to Saturday. Okay. That's
excellent
fine.
Work.
Okay. Yeah. No, good. Anyway, here we are from the hip.
Yeah.
Back again. And it's our last F of the year. And Kath, we started July 2021.
Yep.
Just for a bit of fun.
Yep.
We've been having fun.
Yeah, we've been having fun.
And we're still here.
Oh, my God.
And we've chopped and changed and done the weekly and done the monthly and had a few gaps and, you know, rejigs and done a GoFundMe.
But we're still the, you know, Stephen Bradbury of podcasts. We're still standing, skating on through.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We are. So it was quite cool. We had a little from the hip get together, as, you know, that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
So we've thought about next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do. We want to keep going. We love this.
Yeah, we do love
and
it.
And we reckon the monthly diet's quite tasty.
Yeah, I think so. Look, it's taken a bit of pressure off. What do you think we're going to do next year?
Well, I think we've got some good new cards up our sleeves. We've got this new sort of idea. We might go to a few festivals.
Yep.
Might do a few lives.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Or do some interviews there at least that we then publish.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And, you know, where are we? We're in, what did I say the other day? Saudi Arabia?
Well, yes. When we look at our insights, there's people listening all over the world.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, our major audience is in Australia.
Yeah.
But the fact that we've spread a little bit far and wide.
Germany's big. Germany's number two.
Big.
Like, what? I've got one friend in Germany. No, two friends in Germany. And Nellis wouldn't be listening. Barb. I don't think Barb would be listening either.
Oh, well, I don't know. But anyway, it's good.
So tonight we're going to do a little wrap up of the year.
Yep. She can't reach her wine.
Not that we ever drink
no,
wine.
No, not that we. I know we did.
We don't sit. That's we've always we set did. Out to
I know
do
you
that.
Say
we weren't
going
to sit around the table and hear chink and oh, we're getting pissed and
no, but. We do like a convivial.
I do have to get up.
Okay, she's getting up to
just
get
away. Just do some singing or
okay,
something.
Okay, no, just, oh, okay. Merry Christmas, everyone. Oh, no, now she's not near the mic and, you know, our producer's going to go mad. Anyway.
Okay, I'm back now.
Okay, good.
We thought we're going to do a little sort of thing about three things that have moved us this year.
Yep.
So I'll start with you, Kath. What's your number one?
Okay, my first one would be, I think, securing a property and choosing to move in here, which I think I've mentioned before. And when we had Terry Maloon on, who was our mortgage broker, that was really important conversation, I think, because, you know, all of those stats around women in their 50s and, you know, couch surfing and car living was just horrifying to me. So to actually feel secure in a place where I actually really don't want to go out, I'm very happy coming home. That was a huge source of comfort for me and a massive weight off my shoulders.
There is still that security in the bloody bricks and mortar, isn't there?
I think so.
Roof over your head.
I think so. Yeah. It, you know, it's kind of in our Australian DNA.
Yeah, it
is. I know that in other countries it's not that way.
Yeah.
But I think after having a couple of properties and then not,
yeah,
that weighed
it's an
heavily.
Odd lack.
It
yeah.
weighed heavily.
Yeah.
What about yours? What's your first impact?
No, but just on the top of that, like as I walked into your apartamento block tonight, like I'm walking into the grooviest, authentic 60s block of flats.
Yeah, it really is. Isn't
and
it?
It's, God, it's good.
It's kind of brutal.
Great breeze blocks, and you look through to the steel stair, and there's just always that sort of odd, neglected garden, which has a few sort of old flora, but the grass is always patchy. And they're either pristine because someone in the block of flats keeps the grass, you know, velvet. And
well, we haven't got much grass, but we do have gardeners who come in and clean us up. Yeah, yeah.
It's part of
the
blowing.
The body corporate thing. I've got my own leaf blower. I'll hook to it. You know, because I'm a very, I've got a very independent woman. I may have to repurpose that. But anyway, yeah, no, I agree. It's
motor on or off?
Oh, stop now. Sucking or blowing, you know, like what? What are you doing with that thing? Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, go you.
Yeah, thanks.
I think it's a, yeah, it's a bloody solid achievement.
Yeah, I know. And now what about yours? What's your first impact?
Well, I think my first impact I'm going to talk about is my achievements. I've had these, like I had this fortnight where I no longer have any children at school.
Yep.
I finished my master's, which I started in 2020.
Amazing.
Because what else do you do in 2020? Mm. And I launched a project at work that I'd been working on for a year as well. So that was this fortnight of completions.
Yeah.
And I say it quite regularly, I'm really proud. I'm most proud, in fact, of the masters to complete it.
Yep.
And mind you, I only had 2 weeks face-to-face.
Yeah.
But I started it to reactivate another part of my brain again. And I love thinking academically and, you know, I learned to write academically. I hadn't written like that before. I'd written journalistically but not academically. So that was, you know, it was a buzz.
Yeah.
And to finish it and do really well and, yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Girl.
Yeah. And, you know.
And it was a master's of what?
Arts management.
Yeah, amazing.
And so that's the sort of culmination of 6 years of separating and doing your life on your own and, you know, you're getting your children through school.
And also reforming your vision of yourself as an unmarried person. That's a big thing.
Yeah, and it's this, you know, I keep repeating this thing of opportunity of second life.
Yeah.
And
don't give in, girls. Don't give in.
No, like leap of faith. We always bang on about leap of faith here.
Mm.
But I truly believe it.
Mm.
And there's all the scary or there's all the trepidation or there's a bit of the wobbly bits. But, you know, there's this group of women around us now who are all doing this shit.
And
it's like powerful.
It is powerful. And I think we've had some wonderful guests who have illustrated that,
who
are really, really just going for it and making a difference to people.
Mm.
You know, I think that's so extraordinary.
It's interesting because it's sort of a quiet community in a way because we come at it with experience and decades.
Yeah.
But it's at a level of quality and excellence and, you know, then the morph of us coming from sort of the analog generations into the digital. Because, you know, like it or lump it, we have. And that's what we do. And it's not in our DNA as it is in our kids.
Yeah, that's right.
But, it's, I feel really proud to be part of that sort of collective.
All power to you, girlfriend.
Mm. Okay, go to.
Number two. Okay, so number two for me is an outside of myself one. I was very moved and distressed and saddened by the horrific impact of floods in this country this year, and to see the devastation of people who have nothing, who have lost everything, who have no insurance because they won't allow insurance on floodplains, all of that stuff. I just found that so horrific from a country point of view, from a personal point of view. You know, clearly it didn't affect me, but it affected some of my clients who were winemakers whose, you know, 160-year-old vines were underwater.
Mm.
And, you know, you might go, oh, yeah, well, they're just wine. Mm. It's just vines. But actually that's history. It's living history, as well as the people who have lost everything. And people who are still living in bloody tents on ovals. I just despair. And obviously that plays into a much bigger story about climate change and the importance and the we just got to do some shit because this is terrifying. It's terrifying. And I think the thing that for me is that this country, you know, the flooding rains and bushfires and all of the stuff that we have to deal with that is completely beyond our personal control. But it is within the control of some bigger picture stuff. So my niece, who's extraordinary, who works for the Climate Hub at Monash University, she attended COP22, which was just a life experience for her. And I haven't seen her yet, so I'm looking forward to hearing more about
Chrissy.
That. I'll see her in the next couple of weeks. But the inactivity or the inaction of this country for the last 25 years or however long those people have been talking about it just disturbs me.
Do you think there's a change now? Do you think there's
I do. I think there's a bit of momentum, but, you know, and there's a lot of talk, but what we want, really want to see is action. And I think there's a huge amount of action that we don't necessarily see.
What would be like two, Kath, simple things that anyone could do?
Obviously moving to renewables and putting on solar, you know, power on your roof if you can do that. I think not using gas. I mean, I've got a gas cooker here. Really? My heating's gas. I really should be looking at that. And financial assistance to make those changes, because not everybody has the money to do that. So, you know, again, it's about shifting priorities in government, helping with funding, because I think there's an appetite for it.
And it's a bloody wealthy country.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I mean, even if the money is just this invisible sort of thing.
Well, yeah.
Which it sort of is. Look, I mean, you know.
I can't say that I'm an expert, and I do not put myself in the position of being an expert, but seeing people on their roofs with children,
it's funny, those natural disasters, though, isn't it? Because it is. if you're an urban dweller, as we are, I live for 13 years on a national park, and so definitely being immersed in nature, you are so more greatly aware of weather and impact of heat and cold and rain, and, you know, you watch storm fronts come over, or stars, whatever. You're much more connected to nature, and so therefore you're in tune with what's working or what's not.
And what's changing. Like even, you know, as you know, I do a lot of work with wine, and the way that vintage has changed. So vintage is coming a whole lot earlier because we're hotter. So they need to, our grapes are getting riper earlier. They need to be picked earlier. You know, it depends on the region that you're in. It's just those changes and all of those, and I only speak because I know them, winemakers, they're farmers. They've observed this stuff for years. They've got huge historical documents that, and sitting around a table with winemakers, they remember every vintage. They remember what the rainfall was. They remember when there was a weather event. They remember frost. It's just extraordinary. And, you know, so many of them are making changes in their own business. But we need huge changes. And I do feel like there's some momentum. So I think that's a good thing. But it's probably 20 years too late. Kath and Mish. Okay.
Still, we got to just bloody live in the moment and do your thing and be kind and, you know, listen to from the hip
and use your votes.
Well, see, there you go. If we talk about things that have moved me this year, the federal election moved me. So, because for me, and we discussed this the other day, it was this climate of the dark years of Australia. And to this point where it was like, is this ever going to change?
Yeah.
The corruption and the
inactivity.
Inaction, the yep. inactivity, and but yet this mandate, this powerful mandate to do whatever the fuck a small group of people wanted to do in this country and to the detriment of so many people. And we just had to watch it go on.
And ignore humanity.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
And so this change that came, it was like it was an energetic relief. The country suddenly felt lighter. You had to engage in that shift of energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's this optimism again. We don't have to be embarrassed saying we're Australian anymore. Well, you know, maybe for a while, but certainly not as much as we were.
Yeah. No, I feel like there's some momentum.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. Moving on from that, number two for you.
Have I not got to number two yet?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
Right. Gosh.
Number two, baby.
This is just what happens here. I went to see this extraordinary movie. This is a recent thing, but called The Velvet Queen, which is a documentary set in far reaches of Tibet of a French wildlife photographer and a French travel writer on the quest of finding a snow leopard.
Right.
And the film score is by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis.
Oh, my God.
Which is, you know, of an ilk. And so if you remember them doing The Proposition, and they write very well for film. And it's the landscape. You disappear into this enormous landscape. And it's not your bloody wildlife calendar thing. It's the experience of being in this landscape, even just on a screen. And this is immense landscape. And the way they managed to capture it on the screen, you're in it. So went with mum and dad and my girlfriend. So there's 89, 84, 53 at the time. And what's that, 55. And we're all sitting there. Didn't move a muscle. This just, and so it's this meditation in a landscape. And again, it's stripped back raw to just being entirely in the present. And they go back, they were sort of talking through the movie about, oh, you know, when I go back to Paris or whatever you think.
You go,
how the fuck could you go from this landscape into Paris? It was an extraordinary experience and I recommend it to absolutely everyone.
Is it still playing?
Yeah, minimally, but yeah.
Okay.
The Velvet Queen. Le Panthère, something or other.
Well, that reminds me.
Really moved.
When I lived in England, one of the guys who worked for me in the restaurant that I ran, his father was a wildlife photographer, a very famous one at the time, and he used to sit in trees waiting for bloody birds to copulate.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like it is an extraordinary process.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. And to actually be able to edit it and capture the content that makes it so compelling. So it's a story.
Yeah.
You know, so being able to edit that vastness into a compelling story.
Yeah, there's a mastery of documentary makers.
Absolutely. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And again, you're overawed by the landscape and these animals in it.
Yeah.
Then you go out and you fucking yell at someone in the traffic.
Yeah, I know.
Like, so,
bit of perspective,
but it's that, yeah, it's, it, and so I think that's what it's about. Like, wherever we are, if you continue to just be able to find your moments. Mm. It's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. My third one, and again, a bit of a Debbie Downer, and don't mean it to be.
No, no.
But for a personal impact, you know, fucking interest rates. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so this is, again, you're in this. It's very real. I'm not in it. I can hear the noise.
Yeah.
But I can't feel it.
Yeah, well, I feel it intensely. And I the thing that has given me, you know, obviously having to find another $1,000 a month and trying to refinance and do all of that stuff to manage it a bit better, because none of us have loads of money in the kick.
That's a shitload, Kath.
That's a shitload.
Additional.
Yeah. But I think to myself, trying to maintain some perspective and being a bit yogi about it, there's people who don't earn as much money as me.
Mm.
How are they surviving? There are people who are not putting food on the table, who are missing meals, who have stopped their personal health insurance, which, you know, then plays into our whole health system under pressure. Oh, you know, like the knock-on...
That is so messy.
The knock-on effects of these 8 consecutive rises has been massive. Now, I can't even imagine how people cope when we were at 18%. I can't even fathom that.
So what are they now?
Well, mine's now 5 point something. It started at, you know, 2 point
when
something.
When was it, 18?
Oh, when Paul Keating was in charge. When it was in the, you know, the recession we had to have and stuff. You know, 80s maybe. I wasn't a mortgage owner then, but the knock-on effects of world stuff is huge. And I feel for people. You know, I will make it and I will fucking hold on for dear life because I'm not selling this place under any circumstances. But it's hard. It's really hard. And I think we all have to look at ourselves very seriously about how we manage that. Yep. And there's a lot of people in a whole lot worse position than me. But that's had a huge impact on me mentally. Mm. Yeah.
So do you have to find another $1,000?
Oh, well, it just comes out of whatever I was saving or whatever I was spending on other things. And, you know, at least I can still put bloody food on the table. But, you know, then we go into winter and energy prices are going to rise again. Do we not put on the heater?
Yeah, you can maybe need to do your body corp and get solar on the roof here. What is on the roof here?
Corrugated iron, I think.
It's not concrete.
Anyway, look, we run very lean here as a body corporate and they've been very conscious for the last few years. I'm on the body corporate now, of course.
Of
course I am, because my neighbour left and she said, can you do it? And I went, oh, yeah, all right. And there's a guy who runs and he's terrific.
But, Kath, this era of building, it's likely there is a concrete roof.
Yeah, maybe. Here maybe it's something we should look at.
What are we doing? Apply for a grant for the green roof?
Anyway. It's on my agenda, okay? Just give me a minute.
You need to take another thing on with your full-on job.
Give me a minute to get across the minutes from the last meeting. Anyway, number 3 for you, girlfriend.
All right, so mine's a bit serious too. Another film, but it's a series, called The Australian Wars on SBS, made by Rachel Perkins of the famous Perkins
family.
Yep. About the frontier wars, of which I've read quite a bit about the Tasmanian section, so they start in Tasmania, and... actually, and have interviews with extremely learned people and establish via scientific fact that indeed there was this 100-year war that was fought here. There were people fighting against each other as opposed to the perception of a tramplement sort of thing. Yep. Extremely moving television, extremely important television that should be taught as curriculum.
Yep.
And the intensity of how the documentary is made, again, another excellent documentary, is so that, particularly in the third episode, I had to have breaks. But the intensity of the subject matter is coming through the actual television.
Yeah.
Extraordinary and so important. Well, and simple messages, again, it's the truth, because there's always this thing of oral traditions that don't qualify for fact.
But there is – I watched the first 2 episodes of that. I had to have a rest too because I just thought, Jesus Christ.
I made you watch it.
You made me watch it. And it was incredibly confronting.
Mm.
What I wonder about that is how that plays into the voice and where we're at with that now and the acknowledgement that – yeah, it wasn't a pushover. There was no doubt.
No.
And I thought the...
Not at all.
And the depiction of the strategy of those Aboriginal tribes was just extraordinary and enlightening.
And so the documentary is some part reenactment and then interviews with all these experts, of course, and then trips through country and the landscape.
Yeah.
It's also interesting because having read quite a bit about a section of that... it's very different to read and watch.
Yes.
At that same sort of level of detail and immersion and,
yeah, but to have it documented, it was on SBS.
Yeah, it's on SBS. It's called The Australian Wars by Rachel Perkins.
Listen, darling, I think we should wrap it up.
Yep.
Christmas is coming.
Yeah.
You've got a busy few weeks ahead. Ham's
ordered at the butcher's.
Oh, my God, you're so Jewish.
Do you do turkey?
Yeah.
Ah.
Right. Angus has requested turkey and I'll do a baked ham. It's just four of us for Christmas day, which will be beautiful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll do all that.
Yeah.
Duck fat potatoes.
Five.
Mm. It'll be gorgeous.
Mm. And we've got Hanukkah before that, so we've got Lakhlis before that.
You see, you just bloody... Yum. You're hedging your bets, girlfriend.
Yeah, see, it's the fried food festival.
You're hedging your bets, and then get me some of that ham. She's a bad Jew.
I can do everything.
She's a bad Jew.
I do everything, darling.
Anyway, well, I love my bad Jew, and I've had a wonderful year again with you.
Yeah, and go us.
I know, and thank you for looking after me when I needed some time off for moving. Oh, and that
we're
was
flexible. This is the thing, I think, with From the Hip too. It's an organic process. So if you're willing to come along with us on the organic journey, you don't have to eat organics. Like, they're expensive too.
Oh,
well. But, you know, I mean, if your mate's growing stuff, good. But
but
it is. It's organic. It's not structured. We're not funded by a machine.
Yeah.
It's not our job. We do it because we love it. And,
we really think
we are creating conversations. And thanks for all your feedback, because we love all that.
Yeah, no,
and even if we don't know you, just, you know, message us.
I'd like to give my dear friend Mish a big shout out, because she does all the social posts on Insta, and I think she's fucking hilarious.
Thank you.
And she finds the greatest images, and I'm just in awe of her. So you are the clever one.
And you're all very...
You're the clever clogs.
Oh, well, I have worn clogs many
times. Oh, no,
year.
Don't even go there. That's another story.
But, you know, that's the thing, right? So, and I just want to say something on the postings, because isn't it interesting how every time we post a photograph of ourselves, it goes off.
I know. Not sure why.
Much more interesting imagery than us.
Maybe we just give it a...
Anyway, let's go out with this. Hang on, I'll do this and then we'll say bye. Okay,
bye. That's it from us.
See you later.
Merry Christmas. Bye. Happy New Year. We'll see you
up
ahead.
See you next year. Bye.
Hip is a podcast featuring Kath and Mish for and on behalf of From the Hip Enterprises, recorded in the studios of From the Hip. You can subscribe and find more episodes of From the Hip at fromthehip.live, on Instagram at fromthehip_podcast, search for From the Hip on Facebook, and download wherever you'd like to get your podcasts. Until next time, stay fine, stay fearless, stay hip.
Hang on, I'm going to try another one.